I'm Erica.
And I'm Jules. Most people have at least one thing that they can't or won't eat.
Yeah, we're definitely like that.
We started this podcast to talk about the gluten-free food industry.
Like new products and some of the stories behind your favorite brands.
And living life with a specialty diet. And also some important healthcare topics.
Since we're basically both broken inside.
You had me at eat.
Welcome, 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 welcome to another episode of You Had Me Eat. Today we are joined by Josh Schieffer, the guided buyer. I love it. We have known Josh for a very, very long time in our community. He is one of the pillars of the gluten-free community, or should I say old school members.
That's
like
right.
Jules and I. Mm-hmm. He has had many, many iterations of his brand and what he's provided to the gluten-free community. And I'm here to talk about the latest and greatest version of his brand, which is the Guided Buyer. And you may have seen us talking about the Guided Buyer. We're just received an award for, we have been voted number one gluten-free podcast. Yes,
that's right. On.
Where's mine? I just had cats.
I'm showing it. It's fine. We don't all have to show it.
Better. Hold on. So much better.
Josh, you hold yours up too. We'll all do it at the same time.
Here.
For those of you listening to the podcast, the way you're supposed to actually listen to a podcast, you're not actually seeing it on YouTube. We are holding up our individual copies of the 2024 Gluten-Free Buyer's Guide. So there you go. You can also get yours on Amazon. You can have your very own buyer's guide.
Yay. Yeah, we'll get into that. So this is basically a community voted, community source list of the best of things. And as Jules alluded to, you can buy it on Amazon, social media. Obviously, Josh shares a lot of the winners in this really cool, like, Olympic podium style showcase of who wins best. But Jules and I have both won awards in this amazing thing. For instance, I just turned to sugar cookies. So you can find the list of like the top voted one and then some runners up. And I love this guide and have since you started these awards because it allows people to understand community source, what is the best XYZ? And that's something that is always asked in the gluten-free community since we've started 1 million years ago in the prehistoric era with the dinosaurs.
Prehistoric gluten-free.
Prehistoric gluten-free. It was much easier to eat gluten-free back then. It was just T-Rexes. So Josh, tell us a little bit about why you started and kind of how the backstory of why you decided to launch who you were back then and what gave you this idea and why you started a business.
Sure. Yeah. So thanks for having me on your podcast. I love it. So my son was diagnosed with celiac disease before I even heard that name. And when the doctor said celiac disease, like we literally had to Google it. Like what are they talking about? And we were immersed in this community. We were trying to figure out what to do. And we were going to these picnics where we would meet all these other families. And our experience of converting to gluten-free was much different than a lot of them. A lot of them were lower income or maybe lower middle income families and didn't have the same healthcare that we had. And so when my son was diagnosed, we were originally given like a Xerox copy of bananas and bacon and like these are the things you can eat.
As we all were. Yeah.
Water. Yeah, like, okay, this sucks. But then my wife, God bless her, she's like, hey, we really need to go to a dietitian and figure this out. So she did. She called me. She's like, hey, I want you to go to this dietitian's appointment with me. I'm like, why? Like, you can figure that out, right? She goes, no, but we're going to her house. I really want you to see. I'm like, her house? The heck? So come to find out, her daughter had celiac disease, and she wanted us, instead of going to, you know, a clinical setting, to go to her house and look what cross-contamination looks like. And here's a different a toaster, and here's why you do that. And here's all the brands we love. Like, here's the cereal we love. And, you know, and it was like, wow, that was really cool. So we immediately went to like Whole, so we went to Whole Foods and was like, oh yeah, I remember that brand. I remember that cereal box and that whatever, all the different brands. We visually could remember what we saw. And I'm like, man, that is such a different experience than these folks that we're meeting at these picnics. They got the ditto sheet, but they couldn't afford a dietitian or whatever. And I remember meeting one family, and they were very depressed, and their son was severely damaged internally, and it was coming out externally. And they were really depressed about the diet, and it was bad. So anyway, on the way home from that, my wife and I were like, why don't we create a consumer-driven program that highlights who has the best foods? That way families like them can just quickly identify and have essentially that same experience we did without having to go into a dietitian's home. Mm-hmm. And the vision was just a one-page website where we had a list of categories and people can see and people can vote, and it would be simple, and we did that. We were
G freak. What year was this, Josh?
This was 2010. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for those of you who've been gluten free forever, you might remember G freak was like the catchy SEO title I thought I had. And anyway, I got sick and tired trying to explain what G freak was. But anyway, so we started an awards program, and we were doing it every year. And then we started to receive requests from folks that were diagnosing people with celiac disease. Like, hey, it would be great to like give them a book. You know, when they get diagnosed, like instead of that ditto or that Xerox copy, like here's a book, and these are all consumer voted products. So we started making books, and been doing that for years. And then we were starting to get hit up like, hey, I love the gluten-free buyer's guide, but I'm also dairy-free. What's the chances of you doing like dairy-free awards and dairy-free books? And I was like, I don't know. And some of the brands I work with, obviously they, you know, they're either plant-based or vegan or dairy-free. And they're like, yeah, we would be totally hip to that. So here we are. Now we've expanded into four different books, and we've been doing it. This is going to be our 15th year doing awards. Is that not crazy? Wow.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
That's great.
We've been around for most of those. I am super excited that you talked about the new guide. So you have we have four guides total now, and this is the second year that you've done the new guides. You have the dairy-free, low-carb, and vegan plant-based?
Yep, and the gluten-free.
Awesome.
Yep,
and the gluten-free one. And the categories that you have – these are just kind of the everyday categories on if you were in a grocery store, you would say, what am I looking for? So best chip, best bread, obviously. And then you have gluten-free mixes and all the different things you're looking for. How you sometimes introduce new categories. How do you choose the new categories?
Well, sometimes people, I'll give you a clear example, communion wafers. Right. A brand hit me up and like, hey, we are the best communion wafers and we're, you know, approved by this and all, you know, like, okay, I'll try it and see if, you know, people are interested in that. And so we basically take categories in and out, and it's really dependent upon feedback.
So tell us about the process about voting and your audience. Obviously, you've gained a big following after how many ever years, 15 years of doing this. So tell me about kind of how it works. How is your year kind of split up? Because I know you spend a lot of the year actually cultivating products, working with brands, and then before you send out this giant survey to everyone.
Yeah, so it has changed quite a bit over the years, and we always are trying to refine it and speed up the process because there's only a few of us that work on the book. So year over year, we do have favorites that essentially stay in the book. I mean, it's like I could tell you Amy's gluten-free mac and cheese, the frozen, like it's a staple, and everybody that has celiac disease knows what I'm talking about. You probably have some in your freezer right now. And so there are some brands and some products that are pretty solid. They're going to stay just because we know that they're good. And brands will register. So if they feel like they've got a new product they want people to vote on, or if they have just, you know, a staple in their kind of portfolio that they want to, you know, see if it's worthy of a consumer award, they'll register those. What we've been doing the last couple of years is there's a write-in. So when you do vote, when you have the ballot, you'll see like a list of, it could be anywhere from like 1, 2, maybe even 5 products, but then there's always a write-in. And when we pull the results together, we sort by what people are saying. So if there's a long list of people that are saying, hey, this brand and this product is our favorite, we add that to the tallies. Mm-hmm.
For the next year or during that same year?
During that same year. Yeah, during that same year.
Mm-hmm. And when you say like you're working with brands throughout the year, like are brands coming to you and saying, hey, you know, we would love to be in your guide, or do they come into you and say, we think you should add this category, or, you know, what does that mean working with brands?
Yeah. So brands have different ideas and reasons for working with us. Some want to be in the book just to get eyeballs on their product. Some want to be highlighted as award winners, and then they use like our award seal to help them market. So there's a whole host of reasons why brands want to be, and it varies from brand to brand. But so throughout the year, the earlier part of the years, we offer discounts to get them in the guide early, so we're not inundated at the, you know, right before the ballot goes live with 1,000 different vendors trying to put their products in. So we entice them to start early. But yeah, we basically start building the ballot in January by these brands registering their products. And then when we go into live voting, of course, we'll have them listed, but then there's always that write-in. And I don't want to overcomplicate things, but we do have like influencers that we work with and that we respect. And so we'll reach out to them and we'll ask them, you know, what are some of your favorite brands that you're being introduced to? And so we give them an opportunity to put products in the ballot as well.
Yeah, that's actually my next question, because I know
I've written in a ton of stuff that is like, this has blown my mind, you know, and there's so many amazing new products that launch every year. And obviously we're the ones going out to every freaking show, losing our minds, not sleeping the entire year. But you know, there's so many great things that it's like, this is so exciting. We absolutely have to like have this as a write-in for people to know. And I think that gives us to that lens to kind of the second part of what this book is, which is, yeah, the award, winning the awards are great and you can show off your awards. But the best part is you have a freaking guide in your pocket that is like, okay, if I'm looking for something, ice cream cones, like I need ice cream cones for my kid's birthday. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to see probably these two. And I know that someone has said that this is their favorite ice cream cone. Mm-hmm. It has been community sourced and people know best candy, best. I mean, people always ask me in these Facebook groups that will be the death of me. Like, hey, have you tried this? Have you eaten this yet? Because I don't know if I want to spend the $8 on it or 10 bucks on it. Like these Ming's Bings that I wrote in. Oh my God, they're my favorite freaking thing. And I am so happy that it's out there. And I know that so many people asking me about these products saying, is it really worth it?
And I'm and we can't like taste everything, but we can open this book and say, we didn't taste it, but a bunch of other people did vote for it. So at least that's a starting point. And as we all know, the gluten-free diet and a lot of the, you know, plant-based other diets too, they're a lot more expensive than just like a mainstream diet. So if you have a starting point where at least some critical mass of consumers just like you has said, I voted for that, then at least you're narrowing down the choices to, it's not going to be so bad, you're going to throw it in the trash, which we've all had that experience too, which is why these guys are so valuable.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the real heart of why we do it is to help those transitioning and speed up that process of acceptance of their diet and eliminate that depression.
Yeah.
And we also know that good quality food costs more. And so we want people to feel comfortable when they do make that purchase. It's like, well, this is like top three products. So there's got to be something right. to it.
Right.
And so our heart is really for the newly diagnosed. But I will tell you, you know, when I review the Amazon reviews, it's like, I've bought this book, you know, 5 years in a row, and I love it every year. And that's really cool because a lot of people, you know, they get sick of the same foods. And it's like, I want to experiment. Mm-hmm. And these are new products, and that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And I want to try that. So that was kind of a side benefit to the books, is like, it's introducing new products to people that are sick and tired of eating the same stuff.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And also, I'm sure you know this, but we had somebody call the other day, like a small bakery, and they said, you know, we discovered your pancake mix in the Gluten-Free Buyer's Guide.
Nice.
Like, you know, it was voted, you know, number one pancake mix in the Gluten-Free Buyer's Guide, and we need a pancake mix. So that's where we're starting.
Are those yeah. people calling you right now? On your
probably. Yeah. Probably so, yeah. They're like, you haven't called us back. We need the pancake mix. No, I mean, so I think there's a lot. It's not just for the newly diagnosed. It's not just for people who live gluten-free individually, but it's also really an important resource for bakeries, for restaurants, for, you know, restaurateurs, like, who are needing to know what the best products are, you know, mm-hmm. be it dairy-free or, you know, plant-based or gluten-free. So I think it's got a lot of value for a lot of different people. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool that you know conceptualized this so many years ago, and it's blossomed into this really useful resource.
Yeah, I think it proves a point that it's really important to listen to your audience and take their feedback, because we wouldn't really be doing what we're doing now if we hadn't done that. We would have still had like a one page website called G Freak, you know, and nobody would know who the heck we are. But I do want
to
point.
How many people are voting? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It ranges every year. Some years we'll have, you know, in the tens of thousands of people vote, and then some years we'll have way less than that. And this is the point I was going to make, is that there are larger brands that get engaged, and then there's smaller brands, and oftentimes smaller brands are reluctant because they feel like they're going against the general mills of the world, you know, and like, how am I going to beat that audience? Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, and Jules, you're a clear example of, like, you have a cult following. You have raging fans. People absolutely love your products. And so because they love you and your products so much, they will vote for you, as opposed to someone going, mm-hmm. General Mills just asked me to vote for their product. But if mm-hmm. it's a brand mm-hmm. that's a small brand that you love, yeah, they're gonna right. vote. So it really depends. Like, we ask our own audience to vote, and we, you know, we're building an email list over the years that has grown. But we ask that the brands that are registering, like, ask your fans to vote for your products. If they're the best, and you're confident that you have the best products, ask the audience. And so it right. fluctuates mm-hmm. from year to year how many vote. But.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's a reflection of, you know, how much people do actually like the product. Like, are they going to take the time to vote?
Yeah.
I mean, because there's a lot, and it's a long list of things to vote for, you know, so it does take a few minutes to go through and vote. It's not just I voted, you know, it does take a little bit of time. But if you do really love a product or a brand, then you're going to take the time to do it. If you're wishy-washy about it, then you're not going to do it. You know?
I put my thoughts and efforts into it every year. I'm like, okay, let's go back through like my photos from the food show. Like, what do I really think is the best?
Yeah.
And, you know, I get so many emails a day from brands that are like, we're in this contest, vote for us. And I'm like, do I really like these larger brands? And I'm like, I mean, if I was like, this is truly my favorite cake mix of all time, of course I'm going to like, that's fine. But when it's just like, it's an okay cookie mix, is it the best? No, not really. You know, like, but if Jules is out there and she's like, obviously I'm up for this award for my cookie mix. And I'm like, we order, you know, pounds of this mix per quarter. And I'm about to get like a freaking massive delivery this week, I think, from you guys. But it's like, we put the effort because it's worth it and we want people to know. The second that I talk about, like, my God, my sourdough bread, I'm like, how do I learn more? What are you? I'm like, the Jeff Jules has a sourdough freaking monstrosity blog post that's like the longest thing on the planet, but you will know everything that you need to know about, like, making your own gluten-free sourdough bread. And it's stuff like that. It's like, we get all these questions and it's so nice to have a resource to be like, yeah, look, other people other than me also think that this is the best, you know, and I want you to take a look at this. So,
And is this available on Kindle as well?
Is it
Kindle as well as the,
Because
I know a lot of people got Kindles for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting with Kindles is, like, you don't have to physically have a Kindle device because a lot of people are Apple people like myself. And so, you can download the Kindle app. And it's essentially just a reader. And so you can turn any device. Okay. It could be even like an iPhone. And then that's now your Kindle reader. It's just an app. And so you get your Kindle app to talk to your Amazon account. And you can download all those Kindle books.
So it makes it even handier when you're shopping. Yeah, that's great.
So I do want to
realize that.
I wanted to talk about some of the feedback we received. Because, you know, we get these, like, negative. Of course, you focus on the negative feedback more than you do the thousand of positive.
I know.
And it's like, oh my gosh, this is all packaged food. Oh my God, I don't eat that. And it's like, well, you know what? We have kids and we kind of did it
for you.
And we have full time jobs. So, like, we can't garden and pick all of our own stuff and kill our own deer. Like, we're going to have some packaged food. So that's one thing.
You've got a lot of categories. It's not all packaged foods.
But also, like, story of our lives, right? Yeah. I mean, God forbid, I also posted about the new Oreo, and I knew that I was cruising for a bruising, and that, like, so many people were going to be, this is gross. I'm like, cool, then definitely don't buy it. Not here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so...
I mean, but people, they have to say something. I mean, they just can't just sit there, Erica. They have to say their piece. Of course they have to come.
Good for you. Helps my algorithm. Comment all you want.
Yeah. But that's the other point I was going to make, is that it's not just packaged foods that we have in there. We have things like magazines. We have books. We have cookbooks. Mm-hmm. We have blogs, websites, nonprofits. I mean, it really...
Yes.
I think we're like 50 to 60 different categories. And it's really, again, designed for the newly diagnosed to really get immersed into the best. I mean, like, if you're newly diagnosed, the best thing you can do is start listening to, like, this podcast, right? And because you're going to really understand the lingo and kind of the culture. And I don't know, there's just so much you can learn from a podcast. And that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you guys remember.
If somebody's listening,
That was so nice of you to say that.
If somebody's listening and they have an idea, they're like, I wish that they had a category for whatever. How would they share that with Josh so that maybe hopefully it would be in the 2024 or the 2025?
Your email's on the website.
Yeah, just go to the Guided Buyer. Yeah, theguidedbuyer.com will have all of our most up-to-date Instagram accounts because we only have like 6,000 of those. And then
It
gives us, you know, you can just contact us through our email on the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if they, is there any crowdsourcing for brands or additions to, you know, like, I wish that this was added or something? Is that the same way that people would tell you that they want their favorite something to be in there as well?
Yeah, as far as, you know, we take feedback from all, whether it be from consumers or from brands. And, you know, we try things. If they don't work, we don't do it the next year. So we're really open to make it right for the audience.
Do you have to get a critical number of people saying the same thing before you'll add a category or before you'll add a brand?
Yes and no. I mean, if it's just one person asking for it, I'm like, that's brilliant. Let's do it. You know?
Yeah.
But if I'm reluctant, you know, like, there was one year we did seltzers, you know, and it's like, it was like when seltzers were just the rage, you know? And I was like, okay, we'll do seltzers, you know, but we're not doing seltzers.
I would actually love to know because I'm so tired of trying to grow seltzers, but I love, if I can point out another thing too, in the back of this book, after the personality awards, you have an amazing thing that you added where you're asking bloggers to talk about their lives and how things have changed since they've been gluten-free and advice. And that, I think, is such a beautiful bonus to this, just like talking about that it's not all packaged foods, like that's truly an insight into things that you wouldn't necessarily get from just like looking at someone's blog. I love that you have that in the back. So don't ever change that, because I think it's great. And you have the addition to a whole new round of gluten-free personalities, like Phil Hayes Gluten, huge, he's taken the world by storm. He's in there as well, you know, and I think that that's kind of a beautiful addition to it as well. It's not just awards, which is great, because I obviously love winning. Winning's fantastic. It fuels the competitive spirit in my life.
Erica is very competitive.
But you know, it's also like a really just, it's a nice gift. Mm-hmm. It's a nice option for people, you know. Mm-hmm. I think you can buy it every year and get benefit out of it, even if you're not newly diagnosed.
Yeah. A few years back, I forgot to tell everybody, I have celiac disease too. So once my son was diagnosed, I was traveling globally for work and I just didn't want to know. And my wife got tested for the gene. Mm-hmm. She didn't have the gene. I was like, So anyway, I had the endoscopy and all that. And yeah, I have celiac disease. And so here I am. And, it's lonely, you know. It's if you don't have a community, whether it be through Facebook groups or, you know, podcasts, it could be a very lonely lifestyle. And we started a survey a few years ago titled "You're Not Alone." And so not only we were asking people for their favorite products, but, you know, like, hey, how many of you have had a nightmare about eating gluten and you wake up in a sweat? Like, I know I have, right? And I'm like,
how often have you had that nightmare?
It's like, am I the only one? And so we did this survey and the results are amazing. Like, you know, we are not alone. Like, all of us have nightmares of eating something that they shouldn't. It's crazy. Yeah.
I'm pulling up one now from the You're Not Alone survey that talks about dating. And obviously we highlighted like scientific studies about quality of life and dating and the horrors of dating with celiac disease, which any of us who have dated with celiac disease know firsthand, but it's always great to have actual clinical research to back you up on the fact that it's horrible. So I love that you're highlighting this in the guide to be like, oh yes, I too have had to go through that. Boy, that sucked. So it's not necessarily trying to fix it, right? Because with finding products, you know, people are like, oh my God, I miss this so much. And I'm like, let me fix it. Here is this product for you. But also part of that survey is like, dude, we get it and we can't fix it. We can't fix the fact that dating with celiac is hard, or like some restaurants just don't get it. We're not magic, but we will tell you at least that like you're not alone. And I think that it's gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Don't ever change.
Anything that we can do to emphasize that, like that we're all in a community, that you have others that are just like you and are there for you as a resource, and putting that in the book, being there on social media, I think all of those things are very valuable, and it's great that you're doing that through the You Are Not Alone as well.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, you know, the gluten-free book compared to the others that we offer, the gluten-free book is much larger because we do have some of those surveys and some of the feedback from bloggers. The community, the gluten-free community is like that. You know, we kind of look after our own. And so I have more content, and I was interested when I started the dairy-free and plant-based and low carb, if I would see that same community camaraderie, and I haven't yet. Not to say it's not there, but it's different. Like, the gluten-free community is special, and it's evident in the book. So if you do pick up a book and you're like, man, this one's skinnier than the other, it's because it's just, our community is different, and it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, a medically diagnosed diet is slightly different than people who are like, I would like to find the best dairy-free whipped cream. I'm like, well, I would find that too. I would love to find that. But you know, this is something that is definitely different than a choice of a diet that you may have while going plant-based, which not to say that those aren't valid because I also am dairy-free. So finding plant-based anything is fantastic. Jules knows, obviously, she's queen mushroom over there. But also, yeah.
Also dairy-free.
Also dairy-free.
Also dairy-free. And mushrooms. I like mushrooms.
Josh, is there anything else that you would like to add about your guide and how people can learn more about it, where they can purchase? Give us all the deets.
Yeah. So, you know, the best thing to do if you did want to pick up a copy, just go to Amazon. You can type in gluten-free buyer's guide and it will come up. You'll see all the years, our latest versions, 2024. But, you know, really, I just want people to understand that, you know, we did this to help those that are newly diagnosed get engaged with the community and get engaged with the right foods as quickly as possible. And so the takeaway from this conversation, if it goes out to those that are newly diagnosed, we're here to help you. And everybody else mm-hmm. who enjoys the book, that's just a plus for us.
That's great.
I love it.
Thanks for doing it. Thanks. I know it's a labor of love for you and your family. And that comes across. And, you know, when you read your story and the fact that you've been doing it for so long and the community really does appreciate you and what you're doing. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Before we go, I just want to say, you know, there was a person we haven't seen in a long time in the gluten-free industry that probably needs to make a comeback. Her name is... What was her name, Erica?
I had a character back in the days
here we
when we first started called the Gluten Free Fairy, and she had beautiful blonde hair that was not mine. She had a fairy dress and she had a fairy scepter, and she was the one that could tell you all the best gluten free products.
That's right.
And she made appearances at expos, people took pictures with her. My mother was a little worried about me at one point in time.
So this should be put in as the bonus, the podcast bonus. You get
the bonus content.
Yes, you get introduced to this mythical creature.
I posted about her the other day, and people are like, "Oh yeah, we've been following you since that." And I'm like, "Wow, I really wonder how like the new followers would be like." What was this? I'm like, yeah, good times.
What's been happening?
Oh, good times. Oh, Josh, we're going to have to go through
the
files.
We need a picture. We definitely need a picture.
We're going to get some videos and we're going to put it in this podcast. And that's going to be super embarrassing for my partner who like wishes that she just went away.
The thumbnail for this episode is going to be Erica with a scepter and wings.
Oh, I certainly hope so. Oh, Josh, thanks so much for sticking around with us for so many years. I feel like being an OG in here is like it's wild, man. We've seen the community shift so much and for the better, and you definitely have had some stories from the past, and we're very appreciative that you have stuck around and you have continued to produce these guides, which have been so helpful, and just so great for the community to be even further engaged with the products and the things that we love most about the gluten-free community.
Well, thanks for producing these.
Yeah, well, stay safe.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Josh. We appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you.
And happy 2024. Thanks for tuning in to You Have Me Eat, the number one voted gluten-free podcast in the country. Remember to like and subscribe, tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.